is Ken Fallon. You're listening to Hacker Public Radio Community News for March 2014. If you're new to the show, this is an opportunity for us to give you some updates as to what's been going on in the community that you might not know about. Joining me this evening is Dave. I'm living in Scotland, but I'm English Morris.
That's me.
And live from Northeast Linux Fest. Is it Northeast Linux Fest?
Yes, it's the Northeast GNU Linux Fest.
Mr. Pi-Pi-Pi-Pi-O-Key.
Thanks, Ken. I appreciate the intro. And also here is NY Bill. We're on the same mic, though.
That's another problem.
And it's very directional, but I'll chip in here and there.
Super, super, super.
Hello, so, Mr. Morris.
Hi, NY Bill. How are you doing?
Doing good, man.
Did you guys meet at when you were over?
Outcast, yeah. Outcamp, I mean.
Oh, yes. Darren, the one I couldn't make.
Yeah, he was on the table with us.
I'm not sure what that means.
Okay, very good. As we normally do, though, we'll start off going through some of the shows that were on in the last month, giving a quick commentary rundown, and bringing you up to date on those. The first one up, we normally introduce new hosts, but as there was no new hosts this month, hello people, hello those of you with guilty consciences who haven't contributed to HPR before, now is an ideal time. If you go to the contribute or a calendar page, you will see a lovely diagram that's like a upturned saw, wood saw, that goes up and then down and then goes up and then slowly down and up and slowly down, and it's now very, very, very sloping down. We could very much do with episodes in the next 2 weeks or so. So, new hosts, please get your finger out and start doing some recordings. Even the How I Got Into Linux show would be an excellent, excellent way to start.
I'd like to request a topic here, Ken, if you don't mind.
Fire ahead. Dave, can you email this to me?
All right. Secretary.
I'd love to hear a show from anyone on like how much they like New Zealand.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, anyone at all. No one in particular. Anyone in New Zealand would be fine.
Randomly down there about life, things they've noticed, that sort of thing. Be ideal topic.
Yeah. Especially if the person is new to New Zealand. But no one in particular.
Exactly. Anyone at all. Any of our listeners in New Zealand, come on down. The Price is Right. Actually, I have a topic as well, Dave. Now that you're taking typing anyway, I want to put a call out there to any ham radio enthusiasts on the network, and I know there are. I am interested in doing some study for my ham radio license, and I've been listening to lots of podcasts, and lots of the podcasts, either I don't know the correct podcast to listen to, in which case I'm requesting a show of ham radio podcasts, a rundown of them, or I'm looking for some ham radio professional people to come on, and we do a series where I'm the noob, and you can be my Elmer, and see if we can't figure out some of the ham radio stuff. Because as I'm listening to the books, a lot of this would be very much of interest to hackers.
We had a request for a live show or a live request here at the fest too. Somebody requested a how do I record a show for HPR, like tag team, where you have the teacher-student type scenario.
Okay, that'd be a good one. Yeah, I think Dave and I, we've done one of those. the Pearl thing where you were the teacher, obviously, and I was the dumb student. I think the answer is simply come on Mumble, and if you don't have a technical expert with you, then find one. On the mailing list, and if you are the technical expert and you're looking for a noob, then again come on the mailing list, and then just try and agree a time beforehand and come on the HPR Mumble list. Okay, but anyway, no harm to add that into the lists of shows. So, quickly going through the episodes, 1456 was released on the 3rd of March, and it was HPR Community News for January 2014, an entire month later, obviously. Then we had Bento with Zubuntu, Kali, EPC, Markdown stuff, Pogo Plug, 4, and more. And the only thing, only problem I have with this episode was, stop releasing all these in the same episode. Do hundreds of different little episodes for each one. But that was me with my admin hat on. It was very interesting to sit down and just hear somebody chatting about various different topics.
Yeah, that's a whole week's worth of shows.
There you go. That's what I was thinking. The only thing I would about his Pogo Plug 4 thing, I would be reluctant to advise Pogo Plug to anyone due to the fact I bricked 4 of them. So, not bricked 4 of them, but there it will, for the same price you can get a Raspberry Pi, or there's plenty of other little devices that are a lot easier, a lot more open. And I'm not talking from a RMS point of view, I'm just mean a lot less hassle to get stuff on, and you have a more standard distro out of it.
I think I'd be willing to bet that Pogo Plug is just as hesitant to recommend you.
Well, the feeling is mutual. Anyways, Free Culture and Open Animation by CT. And again, I love CT's episodes, largely because of his HTML.
Oh, who doesn't love CT?
This was actually quite cool. He did a whole series of them up there, and this was where they wanted to put together a state of, you know, a collection of the various different open source movies and stuff together. And I think that's something, as I had a main use case for myself where I work, we use test videos a lot, and having this Creative Commons stuff that we can use that for encoding is really helpful, because you can just give the movies to somebody and say, here, go check and make sure that that works with those videos. So it's really cool. Nice to have a larger selection of stuff like that. Okay, the following day was 1459. Deep Geek, Locational Privacy and Retro, with RetroTech, the Lowly Pager. Fantastic. Never thought of this. The whole premise of the episode, for those that didn't hear it, was that you, obviously your phone is tracking you the whole time because there's a transmit and receive and you're contacting the tower. So Deep Geek had the idea, well, go back to carrying a one-way pager, and the only thing they know is that you're in a particular region, and it's a broadcast mechanism without a return path. So therefore, nobody can track you. But I don't know, I had a quick look here in the Netherlands, and it was very hard to get a service.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd be surprised to hear that anyone's still using one, just because I didn't think any services still existed.
And they do have, one of my previous jobs, this were by pagers because of the guarantee that you were going to get the message sooner or later. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
But then again, I imagine that would be a two-way sort of thing, so hard to know. But an interesting thought on the whole thing. And did I have... looks like I've got a HTML bug in that episode as well. Dave, can you make notes?
Mm-hmm.
1459
is... what's the problem?
There's missing a closing HTML /A tag.
Okay, 1459, right.
And for those of you who don't know, Dave has written a tool to check all this before I post it, but I still haven't worked. I still haven't done it yet. Then we had 1460, the Road Warrior Command Line Combat Life. And this is Nightwise again, doing SSH server on Ubuntu, IRSSI, Centinium, Alpine, ConnectBot, BotSync, PuTTY, SecureShell, and Nightwise.com.
Wait a minute, you're saying that the command line is powerful enough to use on the road? I don't know if I can buy that.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first, folks. But it is, it's also a very good list. And items for the requested topic would be setting up, I mean, we have setting up SSH server. We've done, there's a few on those. There's a few, like a nice one on IRSSI, and I'd like a nice one on setting up IMAP mail, and also setting up something like Gmail via IMAP on a command line mail program that you could run in PuTTY for requested topics. Then we had Dave with the FOSDEM key signing event. which was very, very interesting, actually, from the point of view of how complex it is. And perhaps they should have thought a little bit more about how they were going to do it.
Yes, they did accept all the criticisms from the community. In fact, I'd been in touch with the guy who organized it. I pointed him to my episode slightly cheekily. I said, oh, yeah, you got a few things wrong, by the way. So he got his own back. But, so he's going to do quite a lot of changes for next year's thing.
I think that's something that definitely needs to be done. It would be nicer to be able to go in for like a half an hour or something and just get it done. But I imagine it's having a look at the CA cert, there is an amount of time that's required to give the level of trust that you need in order to do something like that.
And it's a function of the number of people as well, which is it's where things get really unwieldy.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You want to get the majority of signatures you can.
Yeah, I was just thinking it might be something to be doing around lunchtime so that people could eat and, you know, be doing that sort of thing at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It'd be quite nice to have somewhere to sit down, actually. 2 hours shuffling around in a circle in a corridor. A little bit uncomfortable, especially when you're getting a little bit, longer in the tooth.
Yeah, there also when it's a bit dark and stuff as well.
Again, special pleading on my part.
And the following day we had 1462 encryption and email with Thunderbird, and as you all no doubt have noticed, because I fixed it about 20 minutes ago, the series information is fixed and back on the website. So this is in the privacy and security section. And make a note, Dave, that I want to talk about that later on in the episode about series and stuff, if you wouldn't mind reminding me.
Yep, okay, will do.
This was a hookah about how to set up an encryption email with Thunderbird, which is actually one I listened to, broke my own rule, because this was something that was in the queue that I actually needed to do.
Yeah, I learned a few things from this, I have to say. Well, I knew how to use Thunderbird and encryption, but covered it in a lot of depth there. It was very good.
Yeah. The following day, 1463, code is a life-sucking abyss, also my story. Now, given this was Sigflup, and we all know her history of sending in interesting episodes, I was hoping that this would be a positive one, and it turns out to be a very positive one, and I'm very happy for Sigflup. And yes, I think we've all been here at this to some level of another, basically 4 o'clock in the morning, and just one more bug to fix. Or, for example,
why won't this script run?
Exactly.
Wait, it won't even give me a damn error.
And the next day, 1464 HBR Audiobook Club is revived from the death, from the depths is Space Casey. Featuring the HBR Audio Book Club members and featuring the author herself, who was on the show.
Yeah, Christiana Ellis. That was a lot of fun.
It went down very well, I must
say. Oh, thank you. It's funny, too, you say it rose from the dead, and I think the previous two before that were the zombie ones. Maybe this should have been another zombie one.
Yeah, very good, very good. The one thing about the book club thing is I think it's hitting with the international aspect that of HBR that the community news is. And that is, I think a lot of people, namely, I would have liked to give some feedback onto this episode, because my feedback was that I found it I had, after the last book club, I had listened to this book and reviewed it and ended up having a memory of the book as being something just a horrible, horrible book that I never wanted to listen to again. And then when it came up again, I thought, okay, well, I better listen to it again for this episode. And as I was listening to it, the whole way through, I was going, hey, this is actually a good book. Why did I hate this book so much? And then at the last chapter, that's when I realized why I hated the book so much at the very end. So if you haven't listened to this episode, listen to the discussion about this. But I would have liked to give that feedback, but it's not possible with the timing. It's simply not possible with all our people. So I wonder, would there be a way that we could do a 2 minutes that people could send in their reviews, that you could add them to the show in between the preview and the beverage thing?
We've done it before.
Well, that, so I invite everybody to do that. The next book is going to be Shaman Tales number 1, South Coast, which I have read and is a brilliant book.
I do think I have to delay the recording of that show by about a week just because all the Nelf stuff is going to have me busy.
Absolutely, but you should put out a list.
I keep meaning to.
No, but what I mean to say is put out a request for the people who cannot turn up to send in the recordings by then, because you want to at least a week or two to play them on the show.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I appreciate it.
So, cool. All right, moving on. The following day we had LibreOffice write a brochure project, and this is Ahuka doing a brochure for HPR, and if you want to have a look at that, it's downloadable from the website. Dave, if you could make a note that I put this somewhere for... Actually, on the website, there needs to be a festival, going to a festival link or something.
His LibreOffice series has made me a hero to my wife again. There is a while where she didn't think I could do much with computers anymore, but this saved me.
Excellent. Okay, I could go so many ways with that, but I'm not.
Feel free, Ken. It's probably true, whatever you're thinking.
Anyway, the following day we had you with you, Pokey, with thoughts on GPSs.
Oh, yeah. That was an old recording, actually. That was recorded from last summer, and it took me a long time to edit it just to get off my ass and do it, which I'm a little embarrassed about. But I hope you liked the episode.
Yes, I did, actually. I liked it very much. And you had some comments about to the show about from Ron, who owned an N900. And this was the one where you were talking about the TomTom and that sort of thing.
Yes, sir. And I also, Dave, I know you just keyed up, but we didn't hear anything you said.
Sorry, I think my sound's a little bit funny here. I was just going to say thanks for the hints about the TomTom, because I've been thinking about buying one of those. I think I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, well, like I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If you can find one used for half price, go for it. Don't pay full price.
Well, you have another episode in the mix, and I want to just hold off my comments on this.
I did want to say one more thing about it. Sorry.
Go ahead, of course.
Yeah, the episode that David Whitman and I did together, he did all the recording and editing, so I insisted that he got the credit for it. But he wanted to do that on Osmond, and it was I wanted this GPS one out before the Osmond one, so he was the real motivation for me getting those two or three shows out.
Yeah, sometimes it's no harm to have somebody reminding you and putting you under pressure. And if anyone wants to do that, just very simply, just send an email to the mail list asking for a particular day to be bugged about something, and we'll happily do that.
Nice.
And you came on with how to win Find the Difference games. This is actually pretty cool as well. So I like a nice 5-minute show.
Yeah, it was a silly one. I didn't know if people would be amused.
He had me like making my eyes out of focus while I'm driving, trying to practice it.
Yeah, someone I forget who it was now, it might have been Jezra, made the comment on StatusNet that he liked the show. He said, "I liked your HPR show." And I said, "Which one?" "I just did two." He said, "The one that you had your eyes crossed." I said, and I'm thinking, well, no, it's actually I uncrossed my eyes. I did just the opposite is how you make those things work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Did you get it to work? Did it work for you?
For me, yeah, I do. I have done that, yes.
And have you found one of those games and given it a try?
Nope.
Oh, all right then.
Your show notes lacked any reference to any games, so.
Well, there's one for Android called Find the Difference. So I didn't want to name anything particular, but I figured if you did that search, you'd come up with at least that one.
Okay,
but if anyone tries this and it works, I'd love to hear about it. Go ahead and use the feedback system on the website. I don't know if I said it already, but. Also here today, someone made the suggestion that we should, Ken, ask your wife to record a little bit that we can add to the outro that just says, please leave feedback on the page for the episode. Because I think a lot of people don't know that we have a feedback system at all.
Yeah, That's, yeah, I haven't been publicizing the feedback system largely because it is a nightmare to administer, and it actually logs every person who comes to the website with their IP address, with their browser type. It's just a horrible, horrible piece of code, which I'm going through today trying to. So if anyone has any good suggestions for how we can migrate to a common system that's simple to use and that respects people's privacy, then I'm open to suggestions on the mailing list, of course.
I don't know about privacy, but a forum would take care of the rest of the parts, but that's, you know, another thing. But as long as we do have the comment system that we do have, could we put the link back on the P in the, you know, Hacker Public Radio in the website title, where you could click on the P and see all the comments?
Yeah, sure. Email me a reminder, of course.
Sure, I'll do that right now.
And also, there was a you asked about forums, but there is a over on BinRev. Every episode has a forum link, so if we could put that in there.
Oh, okay.
You can discuss it over there, but there's kind of no link, quick and easy link over to that. Actually, that's something we could probably do. I'll have a think about that. But you know, I don't know if people mentioned discuss before. That seems to be a nice one. But yeah, whatever. I'm in the market for getting rid of this.
Discourse, Ken, not discuss. Discourse, NY Bill is saying.
Thanks. Okay, let's move on. A whole lot of nothing. Chromebook, end of life, CentOS, WTF, non-mainstream GNU Linux distros, and more by Bento. Another one, Bento, that you should have cut up into little episodes and put them in. And that's the only thing, that's the only criticism I have with this topic. I'm currently struggling with a Chromebook myself, so there may be an episode about that later on. The following day, we had community news for February, and more on that and on. And then we had one of my backup shows, which were released into the main queue, more on that and on, called Learning to Read the Time with CC Clock.
Haven't had a chance to listen to this one yet, but I'm looking forward to it. It needs to go ahead of the rest of my queue.
Not at all. So then the next day we had Encrypt Your Stuff with Blowfish by Sigflop. Nice little short episode. Filed it under Privacy and Security.
And again, I'm glad to be hearing more from Sigflop.
Yeah. And then we had CPrompt with a backup show released, How We Got Into Linux, which was kind of interesting, actually. Always nice to hear. And then Dave Morris with also an interesting discussion with Tom, who I only very briefly met at FOSDEM. I feel really quite guilty about that, actually.
We're a busy guy. It's not a problem. Yeah, we'd been trying to. I thought, wouldn't it be great when we get back from FOSDEM, we'd have a little chat about our experiences and record it. It took about a month or something before we got to it. It's just time and general failures on my part. So got there in the end.
Yeah, exactly. But very good, very good. Then we had 1474 Behind the Curtain, look at OSM and OSM automated navigation directions with Pokey and David Whitman, who I hated because I already have a episode on my recorder that has not been edited about OSM Android, and you went ahead and did a far better show than I did. So I hate you, Pokey.
Aw, man, you should have put yours out first.
No, then this would be embarrassing.
You know, the thing, this is a real kick in the pants, too, because that episode was not live for an entire week before Osman revved the whole a good portion of the UI, so we might have to do an update.
Yeah, no, that is an absolutely brilliant piece of software, and I can probably say here what my episode was all about. I was driving back in Ireland, and so I had all the map downloaded on OSM Android, and it was Osmond. I always called it OSM Android in my head, but anyway, Osmond. And I had no clue. I hadn't used it at all, didn't know anything about it because I was relying on Google Maps, and that was fine around where we were. But then we started going in between the hills and stuff. And suddenly all I was hearing was recalculating direction and, you know, a cached I left the very detailed page into like a big zoomed out bitmap of huge roads where it hadn't downloaded at the, it couldn't keep up with the, with where I was. And then there was a roadblock and trying to contact the server, so I couldn't, it couldn't, had no clue where I was. So then I opened up Osmond and it went recalculating, boom, go this way, fine, brought me directly there. So since then, I'm a big believer in this.
I've been a big advocate of offline computing since probably 1996, when I couldn't afford to pay for dial-up service anymore and had to just rely on whatever I already had on my computer desk and on CD. So it's I fell right in with Osmond.
And, you know, people think that, yeah, that's just because, you know, you're out in the sticks in Ireland and, you know, in a part of the country where you're going through hills and valleys and there's no transmitters and stuff. But every day I travel to the most, you know, some of the most densely populated part of the Netherlands and through the financial district to get to work. And every time you approach there, you have zero coverage. And half my train journey is zero coverage. And then there's a little bit of coverage. And then we go through the train travels from there around through a public, national park type area or a nature reserve. And of course, there's no coverage there either. So you go from there not being enough transmitters to being loads and loads of transmitters, but because of so much congestion, you're not getting through. So OSM and Osmond is really for mapping and navigation is just very useful.
Yeah, I need to probably submit a bug to them because with this rev, they changed the routing algorithms and they're not as good as they were a week ago. And I find that very upsetting. So I don't know what they are going to do, but I'm very sad that they're not working as well as they were. But I did use it to get here today. I used it, I found the good parking lots around here, the free one. I put them on the map so they're ready for just anybody to be able to find them. And a couple of people have already asked me, hey, where's the free parking for Nelf today? So I've been able to just show, hey, pull up Osmond. There it is.
Yeah, the cool thing about it is you really need to use the favorites because the street intersections don't really work that well. So I normally just go find out where I want to be and then put that in, before I leave the house, and then you're good.
Yes, definitely. If you're using Osmond on short notice, that's the way to do it. If you've got more time, if your trip is in a month from now or more, so that there's time for Osmond to rev its map data, you can put the building on there and put the street number, and then it pulls right up all the time. But that does take some time for them to... I've talked about all this already, sorry.
Yeah. No, cool. I happen to like it and enjoy this sort of topic, so we're good. The following day, we had Ahuka with his introduction to spreadsheets. So he's moved from Word to Calc and, again, starts at really nice history about what a spreadsheet is. And yet again, I'm surprised by a story which I thought I had a fairly good understanding of and has been completely explained. And I like Ahuka's way of doing stuff. And I guarantee you that they're... put this stuff on a DVD and print out a little brochure with some screenshots of what he's talking about. Basically, his blog posts, and he has something that he could sell and people would buy.
Yeah, for sure.
And then for the last one for this review is 1476 Sega Genesis Music Driver. Another one by Sigflup, and this was a brilliant interview. I have... No, it's good to know that Sigflup has some people that she can talk to on her own level. So, because that ain't me, that's for sure.
Have either of you guys had a look at that the demo that she did the interview on a few months ago? Several months ago now.
No.
I still have to do that. It's the way they describe things was so amazing. I keep forgetting. It's on my to-do list, but once it's on my to-do list, that usually gets filed behind other things. So I'm terrible at that.
Not a problem. Send a mail to the mail list. Dave, can you send a mail to the mail list to remind Pokey to review that?
Nice.
It's delegation for you, Ken. That's good.
So just go over the comments on some of these shows. Deep Geek commented on the HBR community news that they original set points were thought to be human body temperature, and then we had a ongoing reply from in relation to your episode with Jono and Sly Stuart
Sill.
Stuart
Langridge.
Yeah, that's him. And you're basically having an ongoing discussion about who's right and who's wrong.
I'm not gonna do him the disservice of misquoting him here, but he did leave a comment on there, and I'll paraphrase. And then okay, please, yeah, because I was just trying to look it up. Go ahead.
Yes. This is a bug. If there's not a GUI way to do a thing that a user wants to do, I am of the opinion that the advantage of Ubuntu being widely popular all around the world are advantages that I want to see. Much better hardware support, much better software support, no longer being a second-class system in many things. And the most people are not interested in using the CLI, and teaching them to do so is the wrong approach. Emphasis is mine. As you say, it is perfectly possible to win with free software, to love free software, to be passionate advocate without caring that somebody else loves proprietary software. But not everybody does. And the people who castigate you make the environment so unpleasant that they're what drive you out. It seems that the quote advocate open source quote model has become for some people the quote chastise those who are insufficiently dedicated to the open source model quote model. And hearing that all the time is very, very tiring. It doesn't matter if there are 100 nice people for every one nasty person, because you never get to hear from the nice people, just the nasty ones. And there is no culture of nice people calling out the nasty ones and stopping them doing it, because there is nice people looking insufficiently dedicated, and so it becomes a target of the zealot ire too. To which you replied, shall I read it?
I can do this. My reply was, Syl, I cannot disagree with you more. At the time of this writing, and I didn't disagree with everything, I should have specified here, but didn't. I didn't disagree with everything, he said. But at the time of this writing, HPR has almost 1,500 episodes. Almost all of them are dedicated to advocating free and open source software, GNU Linux, open standards, and or free culture. And almost all of them, I cannot think of any exceptions, are hosted by nice people being nice. I'm familiar with the attitude that you're describing, but I think it is the exception these days. I'm somewhat of a latecomer to Linux and free software, 2007-ish, so maybe I'm not an acceptable measuring stick, but I don't even remember a time when that attitude was the rule.
Agreed.
So there was an anonymous commenter here today who stated that the Arch Linux forum may be what Syl is talking about. Okay, perhaps. I can quote him. It was X1101. He's saying I can quote him.
Okay, fair enough, but I personally haven't seen that. And I would also say that when people point you to the command line, if you have somebody in your neighborhood who is running Ubuntu and there's somebody else who's running some other distro, and the somebody running Ubuntu has a problem and the other person is running another distro and doesn't know how to do it via Ubuntu's specific way of doing it.
Oh, then they're wrong, because it should be the Arch way.
But listen, then...
No, I'm kidding. I'm not an Arch user. I'm kidding.
The person running Fedora, for example, does not have a way to install Wayland, or to install, not Wayland, but to install their display manager, because it's not packaged or whatever, to find out how to do it the Ubuntu way. Because the Ubuntu way is not the generic everybody else in Linux way is. If Ubuntu had installed all their tools and pushed them upstream to all the desktop environments so that they were standard on the desktop environments, if Ubuntu had done more work on the free desktop standard, then there would be more chance that the way that they're describing to do stuff would be available on all the distributions, therefore allowing person who is running X distribution that is not Ubuntu to help the person who is running Ubuntu. Because that has not occurred, the only way that person running a distribution that is not Ubuntu can help somebody who is running Ubuntu is by doing it on the command line. That is not being nasty. That is not being unuser friendly. That is helping your neighbor.
That's a good point.
Okay, that's all I'll say about that. Then
and this is, and we were talking about this today here at NELF. This is when it came up that, again, that I thought that a forum would be really nice to have.
Faster,
a lot faster, because I think, when did Stuart leave that comment? It was, back in early February, maybe, and I think I didn't reply until April because I just didn't know it was there. It doesn't get bumped, you know. It doesn't get moved to the top. Whereas if we had if it was a forum and each show had its own, forum entry, its own thread, that would have gotten bumped and people would have had the opportunity to comment on it and reply to that.
Yeah, there is an RSS feed for those comments. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, and going to the feed section, there's a live RSS feed, so you can get that information out. That's something we need to look at anyway. But there's also a delay because everything is moderated. For every one comment we get about 10 spam comments as well. So I moderate everything, so there's a delay there as well. But again, suggestions for how we can improve the commenting system would be a good thing. Then we had Claudio M was commenting on the on Sigflux's episode, and we had an old comment on your episode, Dave. Actually, was it on Chess Griffin's Templar static HTML generator by what appears to be somebody, Steve Kemp, who seems to be involved in the project. We had Delta Ray giving another heads up to a good shout out to Sigflup on her episode. We had Ron talking to you about the N900, and we've already discussed that. We had on the whole lot of nothing, Chromebook, end of life, CentOS, mainstream Linux distros by Bento. We had about.
I think it's Beto or Beto. I don't think it's Ben. I don't think there's an N in there.
Oh, sorry, Beto. God. Sorry, apologies. You know, no new host this month, and I still end up butchering people's names. Anyway, it wouldn't be community news if I didn't butcher somebody's name. Anyway, Bedrock Linux. Yes, the lead developer of Bedrock Linux was on about the Bedrock Linux design and basically wanted to point out that while Bedrock uses change root behind the scenes, is completely abstracted away. So have a read of those comments. David L. Winston commented on episode 1463, which is again Sigflup code is life sucking abyss. Also my story, and my I have a problem moment was 4 a.m. shivering in the garage thinking I really should go to bed soon. I have to work in a couple of hours. Yes, I think we've all been there. And then discussion about the N900 about you and Adventure Boy was commenting on episode 1434, why I made in a free account with Android, which we had on the 30th of January. By Tojet, and he is also planning setting up his Nexus 7 in a similar way. Valaj Duranald posted on 1469, which was the community news episode, we could do with getting more people involved in the community news, and we'll be talking about that later. He also commented on a LibreOffice brochure project, giving a shout out to Ahuka, of course. And then Jonas commented on 1479, asking Sigflup some questions about Blowfish, and she replied. And then you were going to the comment to the OSI Layer 3. which we'll talk about in a while, and then we had Pokey making the comment about the update. So that's basically the comments.
We have to wait to talk about that one, huh?
Yeah, that's next month.
Okay. Did anybody ever get back with that poor fellow who got tricked? I feel bad about it now.
No, he tweaked it as well. He tweaked it as well. I just don't think he Oh, I don't think he had enough coffee.
Yeah, so, I got fooled by an April Fool's this year too. Did anybody else get one?
No.
We're getting comments in the room. Somebody else got. Well. They're going to release, what, the kernel? Release a kernel under GPLv3? Okay, so someone else got tricked this April. I got one on a podcast where they replaced one of the hosts and filled in a new guy, and I totally believed it. It was very sad, too. Did you guys hear what she said?
No.
Oh, sorry, there's a young lady here from HP, and when I asked that, she's across the room, she piped up that... she logged into IRC on Monday, and somebody asked her, did you hear they're relicensing the Linux kernel under GPLv3? And she was pretty stunned.
Yeah, that's pretty... So, yes, sorry, community news if we can? Or sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, community news, that's what we're doing. Sorry, the mailing list, if we can.
Yeah.
So...
Well, a little bit of community news on that note while you're looking that up is... the Hacker Public Radio community-owned Zoom H1 showed up at my house, I think last week or the week before, doing interviews with it today. So that is now part of the official HPR conference kit.
Sorry, the which?
Zoom H1 handheld stereo cool. Recorder.
That is very nice. Very nice. How do we manage to afford that?
Mostly David Whitman, a little bit of 5150, and a little bit of myself, I think.
Oh, well done. Thanks, guys. Big shouts. That is a really... I have a Zoom H2, which I'm using right now. And anything that... the reason my voice sounds as good as it does is because of this. It really works very well.
Yeah, I was just playing around with it earlier this week and just recording as I walked around the house and played back and was experimenting with the stereo effect. And the noise... The sound quality and reproduction and the stereo effect is so good that when you listen to it played back, it's uncanny. You almost get vertigo or deja vu from it. It's really, really stunning. And if you want to play with this Zoom H1 at no cost to you, all you have to do is be the conference guy in your area or conference lady and get the HPR conference kit.
Doesn't take a lot. All you need is people are more than happy to put on tables and you just sit around, except for FOSDEM, which is a completely different level of commitment entirely. So let's quickly go through some of the stuff that was in the mailing list. Very busy month, actually, on the mailing list. It kind of comes and goes like that. Some months there's nothing, and then some months there's massive, massive discussions. This month happened to be a massive discussion month. And it centered around, we had basically three topics for discussion during the last community news. The first thing that we discussed was releasing the backup shows. We do have, if you go to the HPR website, one second. Yeah, if you go to the HPR website, then at the bottom you see a list of backup shows that we have. And we're now calling these emergency shows. So the discussion was that there was some shows in there. For example, your best eggs in the world has been in there nearly 2 years now, so nearly 3 years. So the discussion was, should we release them or what should we do? What is a backup show? And basically, go ahead.
I think I've said it before, so, and I don't feel super strongly about it, but I like having the backup queue. I like having shows in there in case we run low. And I don't mind if we want to put a limit on the number of shows in the queue, and when someone submits a new one, then, you know, the oldest in that queue gets filtered into the regular queue. Something like that is fine with me, but I don't feel so strongly that I'm willing to argue about it if someone doesn't like the backup queue and doesn't want it there. So I kind of tend to remain silent on such topics.
So that was your side of the argument. My side of the argument was that the backup shows are used as a crutch to people, that when they see the queue list going down, they will go, oh, it's fine, I still have some time to prepare a show and send it in. And invariably people forget the urgency, and then it's left to some old regulars to put in shows. And if we look at the number of shows that there have been for the last few months, it's been basically the old regulars, with a few exceptions. So people, stop having us fill in shows and send in more shows. But the discussion went to and fro, I think. Dave, do you want to give a summary of what happened in the end?
Not sure I remember, actually. Ken, you probably remember it better than I do.
Okay.
It's a long time ago.
So the discussions went, I think some people wanted to, were okay with the idea of releasing the shows. Basically, I was also saying that some of the shows were going stale, like, for example, What's On My Podcast Player. A lot of the shows may, a lot of the stuff that's on your podcast player will not be as relevant in 2 years' time. And to counteract that, Plateau says, yeah, the stuff that he's putting in is timeless and then therefore should be only used in an emergency, which is good because Plateau has an opinion as well. He's been the person who's been putting out shows as well when we've been low, so he also knows what it's like to not have a show. So essentially what we kind of agreed, I think, is that the emergency show is... The emergency queue is intended only to be in use when there is still a gap in the 24 hours prior to release. So we will use that those shows if there is a slot available, not filled within 24 hours of release. So, for example, on a Monday, that the Wednesday slot isn't available or something like that. And I'll just give you the exact text from the contribute page. The emergency queue. The emergency queue is intended only to be used in cases where there is still a gap in the schedule 24 hours prior to release. The shows will be by their very nature, the shows will by their very nature need to be timeless, i.e. your topic should still be relevant in 4 years or more. People will be able to hear the show on the website, but they will not be included in any feeds until release. Please begin all shows with text similar to, I'm talking about emergency shows here. This is an emergency show. If you are hearing this, then HPR needs shows ASAP. Please consider contributing a show. Email admin@hackerpublicradio.org for more information. So if you can put that at the beginning, that would be great. Continuing on. We expect that we need at least 10 shows in the emergency queue in order to give people time to record and submit shows. Remember that once all the emergency shows have been used up and there are no more in the shows in the queue, HPR as a project will stop. Comments?
No, Bill keeps getting up and walking away, but before he left...
Am I boring you, Bill?
No, I'm just walking around talking to people. I always thought that was a first in, first out 10 show queue. So I,
yes, but, it was, and that's what
okay,
I thought.
I recall that.
That's what I thought as well. But sentiment on the list seemed to change that. So that is why I contacted each of the hosts with a show in that queue, and got clarification from them exactly what it was they wanted to happen with their shows. And now anybody in that queue is there for the very reason that they wanted their show.
Okay, gotcha.
And just one other thing, hold on.
When you said that the show should include the text there, is that going to be like a text-to-speech and we're going to add that audio to the six shows that are in that queue?
No, I think I'll leave the six shows. I don't know. Might add that to the... I had intended whoever's recording the show, seeing as you're doing it for an emergency show, you put that in. Someone might edit those shows and add it to them. So the only person who hasn't got back to me with a date that they wanted their show released on was Jezra, How I Use Linux. And by the way, if it wasn't for all these shows being released this month, we would have already run out of shows, by the way. Just saying, folks. Just saying. And I still need to make it so that those shows will be playable from the website, but I might get to that tomorrow, perhaps.
Cool. Bruce Patterson's just come in the room. He wants to say hi to you guys, if you don't mind. Here, it's push to talk, Bruce.
Oh, nice.
Hit Alt and Shift for you.
Hey, Ken, what's going on?
Not too bad. How are you? Long time no hear.
I'm doing okay. It's taking me a little while to master the keys here.
I know. I've been struggling with that myself. So when are we going to hear you back on the airwaves?
I'm semi-retired, actually. I decided that, you know, like anything else, once something turns into a job, it doesn't become really fun anymore. So I think it'll be a little while before I come back.
Yeah, as you see, what you need to do is just farm off all these jobs to other people. But I guess you did that, actually.
You're correct about that. In fact, I've been running around Cambridge today getting pictures of awful Frank Gehry designs.
Okay, cool.
Yikes.
Well, if you ever want to come on and do a show, there's always a slot available here for you. No pressure. One show a year, anybody could do that.
You know, it's really funny you say that, because one of the things I was thinking about is that, at the very minimum, you're right, I actually could do something like that. Because now, if anything, that's kind of what I have now, is a little more time.
Yep, it's easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
And besides, I think if anything, one of the things I want to plug, on top of you fine folks actually, you know, showing up at our Linux Fest every year, I mean, a big round of thanks to, you know, Pokey and new NY Bill and Yoon for all of the, you know, support. I mean, you guys were here at the very beginning, even before I was. So, you know, a huge thanks. I mean, it's support like this that actually makes everything go well. This is actually what I consider sort of the best of the community, if you will.
Oh, thanks very much. They're good guys, I must say. I always enjoy getting these episodes in because it's, you know, there's no way I can attend much, though I'd like to.
Sorry, Ken, I forgot to key up. You missed that. I said, "Did you hear that, Paul.com? Yeah." And he said, "No, it's Security Weekly now."
So. Is Paul there?
Yes, he is.
Drag him over.
Okay, hold on one second. You want to say hi?
Yeah.
Shift at the same time.
Hello, computer?
Hello, Paul. Paul, I've been listening to your... Hi, this is Ken from the Netherlands, or Ireland, depending on your point of view.
Hi, Ken, how are you?
I've been hearing you pimping that you're going to this fest for ages on Europe. What are we calling it now? Paul's Security Weekly?
Paul's Security Weekly, that's right.
So how is life?
Life is good. You know, we moved into a studio in Rhode Island, so our broadcasts are larger than life now, and... we're doing full internet and radio production in our studio. It's been a lot of fun.
Have you given your talk yet?
I'll be giving my talk in about a half an hour or so.
Okay, very good. Two things. I've done an episode on how to give up smoking, so if you ever want to refer to that, you can.
Okay, yeah, no thanks, but thanks for offering.
You also do Stogie Geeks as well, so yeah, fat chance there.
Yeah, the Stogie Geek Show is a lot of fun. You know, to have that show be in studio and be in a place where you can actually have a cigar and do a show is pretty epic. We actually had all four members of the Stogie Geeks in studio, as Will's in North Carolina, but he made the trip up. So that was a very interesting and entertaining episode.
Okay, cool stuff. Well, good luck with your talk.
Thank you very much. Security Weekly. Say it with me now.
Security Weekly.
Thank you.
Paul.com. Yes, it's going to take me a while to get that into my brain, I have to say. Anyone else over there?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ken?
Is there anyone else wants to talk, or shall I continue on with the mailing list?
Yeah, X1101's on his way over.
Oh, cool.
And Ken, if you could you please email me Richard Quirin's email address? Because Paul's asking about the design of our banner. And that was him, I believe.
Oh, yes. You're going to have to email me to remind me about that, of course.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, everyone. This is X1101. How's it going?
X1101, go ahead over. What's happening over there? What have you been doing?
I made a trip down, about a 3-hour trip down, to spend the day at the Hacker Public Radio table.
So you're a Hacker Public Radio listener, then, would you be?
Yeah, for about 9-10 months now.
Oh, very good.
So I figured I owed you a show, and so I've made one today.
Excellent. I was going there. So what's your show on?
The obligatory How I Got Into Linux.
Oh, fantastic. I do like those. I just realized we're going through I want to clean up the website. I want to clean up the number of series, and there's definitely a lot more How I Got Into Linux shows than is assigned that. So I would appreciate anybody listening who's got some time on their hands to help us clean out the episodes to put the shows in the right episodes. That'd be great. So you've been on the booth the whole time. You haven't been in Tanny Talks at all?
Not yet. I am planning on going to Paul's talk, but I haven't been to any other talks. I'm sitting at the table with the gang here.
And how have you been finding it?
It's everything I thought it would be and more.
Yeah, cool. That is a nice banner, it has to be said.
Yeah, it's wicked nice. That banner is awesome. Still has that new vinyl smell.
Yeah, the only thing is people were asking me about, are you a radio show? So I would possibly, if I was doing it again, just put community-driven internet radio. Yeah, actually, that works, internet radio. Yes, actually, that works very well. So, if you don't mind, I'll continue on with the mailing list.
Right on.
We had someone asking about the Mumble server, and that was March, yes. Sigflop was asking about the Mumble server, and details for that are on the contribute page. David Whitman was talking about the backup shows and that sort of thing. He also requested that we reserve a slot for the 8th of July, and obviously nobody had a problem with that. Then I posted the question how useful the community news show was.
Very.
And unfortunately everybody seemed to think very, so we're continue doing it. But if people have suggestions for us, please send them along. This one's going to be very long. Also,
if you like the community news show, you join it every once in a while. You don't have to be here every month, but help out.
Yes, exactly. And if you are in a time zone or it's at a time that doesn't suit you, then we can switch the times. I don't need to be on it every month, not at all. Or if you wish, you can send in your contribution via email, and also send us a recording which we can include in if you want that sort of thing. If you want to pimp something that's coming up, send that in. This is the show that I'd like to get all that stuff on. If you have any comments or if you can send in a recording and we'll edit it in, whatever is in that recording happens. I'm actually shutting down now, so we better finish this thing off. But if you have any suggestions for how we can improve the community news or what we should do with the community news, give us a shout. Then we had a lot about, that was the rest is referring to more or less April. So that's pretty much it from the mailing list this month.
Yeah, next month's news show is going to be fun. April's been fun so far.
There was one other thing, which was, should we fix a slot for the community news? And that, that I think has been unanimously yes as well. So let's do that. So yeah, if anyone also has some ideas on how we can improve things, feel free to give us a shout. That is the point. You are the community.
Yeah, that's a really good point that sometimes I think might not be made enough, is that you, the listener, are the community, and we, the community, are the producers of HPR. So if you're listening, you're involved, and we just need you to be involved a little more or just slightly differently and, help to produce the content.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, you.
You over there. And it's not... there's no guarantee I'm going to jump on. I don't jump on everybody like I do, like I did poor Dave. So don't worry about that. But even something like feedback on whether people listen to the community news show, that is very helpful. And you know what the most helpful thing is? To contact the people who have done shows and just say, hey, I liked your show. Because there is no bigger buzz you can get, and it just cheers you up. It cheers you up. No end. Just getting an email in your mailbox from somebody across the other side of the world going, hey, thanks very much for that episode.
Absolutely.
Well, Pokey, anything else that you want to say?
No, I think I'm good. Just Northeast Linux Fest is a lot of fun. Conferences are a lot of fun. Hosting the HPR table is a lot of fun. And you should give it a try.
Come to Northeast Linux Fest next year.
Yes, I think it will. I think it will. If somebody wants to send me the money. Actually, don't, because we have better uses for the money than sending my big fat arse over across to America.
Ken, you should build a money-making machine out of a Raspberry Pi that will just, generate pennies for a while until you get it.
Yeah, Bitcoin.
We need KenCoin. Yeah, we'll generate those.
Yeah, I'm right on it. Okay, guys, if there's nothing else, Dave, are you still around?
I'm still here, Ken. You wanted to mention something about series, you said?
Oh, yeah, I do kind of mention it. I'd like the series to be cleaned up. It's an absolute mess. If you look on the series page, there's basically loads of series with one episode in it. And then there are other shows that should be in particular series, like the How I Got Into Linux series, and they're not there. If there's somebody who has a brain for that sort of thing, go to the HBR website and go to the complete episode guide, and then on another window go to the episode the mini series page and do a little bit of matching and just send me an email going, this episode should be in this series should be gone, this should be changed to this, the spelling is wrong, and any sorts of corrections at all on the series, that would really help because it's a mess.
You have just reminded me, Ken, another thing that we sort of need for the conference kit is, and I do not remember how the how we got the QR code books printed out, but the latest show in the QR code book that we send around to the conferences is like 700 something. So it's we're missing about half the shows.
Oh, right, yeah, that's available on the. That's a PHP page that's available on the website. So, drop me an email about that, what you actually want with that.
Okay.
And also the booklet that Ahuka did, if somebody wants to give that some love and attention and maybe some stats and stuff in there would be handy, because we do have a stats page that could be integrated into that in some way. Just make that a PDF that you could go to / something or other and download the latest PDF with all the stats and the number of hours and that sort of thing, number of hosts.
Yeah, and number of downloads. If we could have that, our average downloads handy for conference time, because people always ask.
Yeah, it's there's a complete zip file, report.tgz, on the website. I haven't run it in a while. I'll update it now for this episode.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Not that it'll be too much use now, but for the next one.
Yeah.
And, okay, I'm good.
Be no harm to have like a checklist as well for going to the shows. I know I kind of have it in my head what I need to bring, but it's kind of useful to have a checklist. And if there's always people who can, print off stickers and stuff, that'd be cool. And mugs with my face in it. Har, 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 har. Okay, guys.
If you don't have a drinking problem now, you will.
Okay, guys. Unless there's anything else, I think we'll call it a day.
Okay, see you later.
All right, goodbye, everybody, and remember, it's now traditional to sing the Free Software song.
I'm not singing.
Goodbye, everybody.
Join us now and share the software. You'll be free, hackers. You'll be free.
I can hear you dancing. If you didn't dance, we could sing.
Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of...
You say Hacker Public Radio.
Public Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HBR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.